Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello, and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power, and that's exactly what we're going to be focusing on today. Not just mind power, though, also the power of personal action. My guest today is Beverly Flaxton. Her book, Make Your Shift, 5 Most Powerful Moves You Can Make to Get to Where You Want to Go. It's always interesting to get people's perspectives about what enables us to become achievers in our life instead of self-sabotaging ourselves, where we step away from those areas of fulfillment and success that we aspire for. Many times we have to have a level of integrity with ourselves so that we can achieve that. And that's part of what Beverly Flaxton brings out in this book, Make Your Shift. Beverly, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. I'm so honored to be here today.
You have spent a good deal of your life in behavioral studies. You've been involved with hypnotherapy. You've worked as a college professor. You've been involved in the entrepreneurial side of life. You have a business of your own. You have been involved in the corporate world. You've been a trainer. All of this has contributed to this book, Make Your Shift, because you feel that there is so much as human beings that we have in character with ourselves. And that is one of your areas of expertise, especially in behavioral analysis. What is it about the nature of the human being that creates so much complexity? So many times we try to put people in boxes. It doesn't work very well, does it?
It doesn't. And, you know, I try to operate, though, Donna, with a core belief that a lot of what should be, quote unquote, obvious to us, we have never been taught. And so there is a need, I think, sometimes to teach people some of these skills, to teach them problem solving, to teach them how to get unstuck. And I think that generally our school systems, a lot of parents don't know how to do it. And so people get to a place where I think they know that they can do better, that they've got something sitting inside of them, but they just really, fundamentally, they don't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very true. And I'm just going to throw in a little bit of salt and pepper relative to history. One of the things that I've observed in my reading and my studying of history, that typically when people are not taught, and this is something I've just observed, if they are not literate in the true sense of the word, if they're not encouraged to learn how to look at situations as, gee, what can I do? How can I go about this a different way? They usually become very subservient. That's how dictators often get into place. They dumb down people. I don't like that term, but really I find in some situations it's a very good term. When you dumb down, whether it's self-inflicted or it's inflicted by a society, it disengages you from your own potential, from your own capabilities. And your remark, I think, really brings that to point. And I think it's so important for us to realize we don't want to be dumbed down. We want to be in control of our lives. And that's one of the things that you bring out in the introduction in your book. You say our own natures hold us back, that there's such a large percentage of people that really don't want to be in control of their lives. They may say that, but they really want someone else to do their thinking for them. And I think your aspect of training and teaching is so absolutely necessary.
And I think your insight is so on target. I observe very often, first, there is a knee-jerk reaction, let's call it, that some people have, which is to blame those outside forces. And one of the things I try to get people to look at is that the truth is life is filled with obstacles. There's all kinds of things that get in our way. But some of them we can control and some of them we can influence. And I think generally we spend an inordinate amount of time putting our energy towards those things that are out of our control and saying it's that over there or it's this over here. The other piece that you keyed on, Donna, and I think it's so important, is a desire for learning, that curiosity, that interest. It is so easy to get taken in by somebody who looks good, sounds good, seems to know what they're doing, be it the dictator or the shyster, whatever it may be. If you're somebody, though, who operates with that sense of curiosity, what's underneath this? What's this person all about? What's really happening here? You know, your eyes get open to so many things, and it's distressing to me how few people want to learn. It's like, I've done that. I don't need to do it anymore. And yet, to me, that's really what life is all about. It's that continuous learning process.
No question about it. And your book, Making Your Shift, you've taken the word shift and you've broken it down. S stands for specifying the desired outcome. H is highlighting obstacles and categorizing them. I is identifying the human factor. F is finding alternatives. And T is taking disciplined action. The image that comes into my mind when I was going through your material is there are certain areas of life where this process is demanded. It is absolutely demanded. And one of the groups I'm thinking of is the SEALs, the Navy SEALs, and your special forces. And these people are picked because they're the elite of the elite, if you will. But they have to be able to, one, act independently, two, solve problems, three, be open to learning at all times, and four, be very disciplined in everything that they do. To me, they represent, and this is just my perception, the epitome of what many people can aim for. But there's not a lot of us that are going to end up becoming Navy SEALs. But those same kind of disciplines we can apply in our own individual environments that will empower us to break through what I call our own glass ceilings. And God knows I've had to work with that so much of my life, and I know just about everybody listening to this show is saying, amen to that. Boy, I just don't know what's wrong with me, why I can't get past a certain point. So let's talk about your book. Your book is divided into two sections. In part one, you have a specific program. It's like an A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And you've got the five-step process. And then part two is a whole different format. What made you decide to break your book up into this patterning?
Well, it's very interesting. The genesis of shift in the beginning came out of a coffee I was having with a longtime client of mine, very, very large organization where I've worked with individuals there and teams. And he said to me, over coffee as we were catching up, he said, I want to ask you a favor. I want you to take this process. I've seen you do it with us time and time again. It's very successful, but I want to be able to turn around and explain it to someone else. I know what you do, but I really can't quite figure out a way to walk someone through it. So that is how Schiff was born, which I thought was a really very compelling for me, because it was somebody who has observed the success saying, put it together in a way that anyone else can read it and understand it. But while I was outlining the process, Donna, and writing the book, there were so many other pieces swimming around that I felt that I've worked with people over the years and have helped them to be successful in so many different ways. And I just felt that to only have the process and not give people some real tools, some real new information, new material that right then and there, even before they've made their shift, they could put into place, would be leaving people without all of the tools that I wanted them to have. So the process for someone could take a week, it could take months, it could take years. I wanted that second part of the book to be something you learn it, you can use it tomorrow and help you to improve in an area that you may care about.
Let's talk about goals. I think, again, everyone that is listening to this show has heard people say over and over and over again, set a goal, go for it, and if you're committed to it, you're going to make it. Well, I know there are those listening just like myself that say, excuse me, I've set goals, I've done my affirmations every day, I have done this, I've done that, I've done the other, it didn't happen. And there's a perspective you have relative to goals that I think is a good one. Tell us your perspective relative to goals and going after objectives that we want.
And therein, Donna, I think you illustrated so well lies the setup, or I think the misdirection that we've been given, which is that we simply set the goal, we head for the goal. We haven't been taught to really ask why a goal is important to us and really what's underneath the desire to reach that goal. And so this is where we wind up, you know, be careful what you wish for in a lot of cases, because we are, and you said it earlier, and it's such a poignant point, which is we are complex. And so we can't really separate out different pieces of our lives and say, well, I want to make $1 million. Okay, but why do I want that $1 million? And what might get sacrificed on the way to that $1 million? And what am I going to do with that $1 million? And why is this important to me? We rarely stop to really ask, what is behind this goal? Why did I pick this goal? Why do I care about this? And how does this really fit in with other aspects of my life? So I think in a lot of cases, you will have somebody set that goal, set that aspiration, and they may even get it, but then say, well, it isn't really what I wanted. And I think in other cases, when people have set them but haven't got there, you have to wonder, is there some kind of self-sabotage because deep down it's not really what I want or it doesn't connect with something else? So I think we have to stop and just do a little bit of self-exploration before we determine that's the path I want to commit to.
That, I think, is a big challenge. Hopefully, as we mature, we have integrity with ourselves, and maybe we've been in, let's say, a corporate environment, and we go, I hate it. I really don't want to be here. I've got to get out of this. Maybe we've gotten a family, or we have had someone in our environment that's very ill, or maybe we're just disgusted with a certain environment that we're in. And the blame game is pretty big. I don't know of anybody that hasn't done it. We all say, tag, you're it. And when we get into that patterning, we are avoiding a lot of what really is going on inside of us. And I think having that integrity with ourselves, being able to be honest, is so significant. I'm thinking of a woman that I know who is extremely bright, and she absolutely has a passion for what she does. And then there will be the spouse that says, well, you should be making $1 million. Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? But the person really has never aspired to be, quote, rich and famous. And so consequently, there is this close down, you might say. Stop pushing me. So many times other people superimpose their desires. How many parents have done this with their kids, spouses, or relatives, or even sometimes friends? It can work as a positive, it can work as a negative, but so often we're about pleasing other people. We're not about really taking time to find out what makes us tick.
And it's so insightful. And to your point about the person you're talking about, and I think, you know, so many situations, it is interesting even when you'll ask a person that why question, because there is a built-in assumption. Well, I want to get promoted to the next level. Why? And people's response often is, well, isn't it obvious? But it isn't. What does that really mean to you? And we could fill a book with the stories of people who have, you know, got to that position and then found, gosh, it's more responsibility than I want, or made the money and then found, gosh, everybody's coming to me asking me for help. look at the lottery winners. You know, many of them regret ever winning because it's caused complications. And even if we're not able to be as self-aware, understand all of those connections, it is a process of evolution, Donna, and I really respect what you're saying. Just it requires that willingness to open up. But if you simply ask yourself that why question, at least it does force you to think a little bit about something that you probably have just assumed heretofore and not really questioned its relevance to you and to your life.
I think there are so many variables in life, and every single human being is, in my view, a very special person. No matter what's going on in their lives, they're here. They are here for a reason. There is something incredible about the human experience, and it is a sad state of affairs when you talk to someone, no matter what their age, and they just feel like their lives are so empty. And that's what we want to do. We want to be able, and your book goes a long way towards establishing this. You give the step-by-step suggestion, but the real essence is getting into the nitty-gritty of who you are. Now, we all have to make a living. We all need to pay our bills. And all of this is reality. But there are people I've known that had their day job, and then they did something that eventually went into being their passion. It was something artistic or had something to do maybe with theater. It's just really interesting to me. And I watched this, and I think how many people, if they had been able to ask the why, to really look at the bigger picture. I'll give you an example. There was a woman that was a client. And this woman was working as a bartender, and she was superb at what she did. She really was one of the best bartenders you could ever want to be around. She hated it. She didn't drink. She didn't like being in the environment. And so one day we had a real good chat, and I said, well, if you could do anything you wanted to do, what would it be? She said, gardening. I just absolutely love being out of doors. So we did some brainstorming, which is one of the things you bring out in your book. And I said, well, why don't you check with the state? Why don't you check with landscapers? Why don't you do this, that, or the other? And we just went down the line, and by golly, she came back to me. It was about 9 months later. She ended up getting a job with the state of Washington, and she's out shuffling around in her jeans and rotten-looking tennis shoes, having the time of her life, even in the rain. She's planting flowers. She's working on landscaping. She said, I'm happier than I've ever been in my life. And she said, I'm even thinking of going into a business of my own one day. Now, I looked at her story, and I thought, this is just amazing. Now, fortunately, she was in her 30s at the time. And I know wherever she is, she always does a good job of whatever she does. But this is a woman that was able to say, okay, I'll make a shift and be unafraid of it.
And this is the thing that I think, and I come across so many people who will make somewhat of an excuse and say, well, that person had a certain situation, or that person had this support, or this person had this in place, and it allows them to keep stalled, if you will, because I think everybody has the ability to restart, but they stay stalled. And we really have to look and say, you know, we do all have our own obstacles. Those are real, but there are ways to overcome them. And if we can get clear about what they are and make different choices and not ignore them, but also not be stalled indefinitely by them, that's where you do have such opportunity to really, you know, live your dream and fulfill. I know in my own case, I had a phenomenal corporate job, C-level position, making more money than anyone should be able to, and just decided I had a boss who was very unethical and really didn't feel good, felt kind of dirty going to work every day, and I was a major breadwinner. I mean, it was a very big deal for my husband and I to decide. And I remember calling my dad and saying, you know, I've left my job and I want to pursue my dream. And he hung up on me and didn't speak to me for months. And so, you know, there are times where what we want, it's, you know, as we look it in the face, we say, my goodness, I have no idea what cost is going to be involved in this. And yet if we don't take that step forward, what's the cost?
I think that's one of the things that I said when I was going to chat with you this morning. Integrity with ourselves.
Yes.
That takes courage. And that's not something that many people owe up to. But it takes courage to say, I'm willing to take a risk. And in my life experience, I've found there's no such thing as an absolute safe place. And a lot of people are experiencing that today. I remember telling people 20 years ago, don't, if you're working for the government, don't think that you've got an ace in the hole that's going to be in your life forever. Well, look at all the stuff that's been going on during the last 5 to 10 years. Lots of layoffs, lots of things. The things changing. Why? Because it has to change. Things cannot go on infinitum. You may want to think that it can, but it's going to have its shakeups and its bailouts and all kinds of stuff. So it's an interesting phenomena, and I don't care what a person's age is. This can happen at any age. You can be 11, 12 years old, younger, older, it doesn't make any difference. It happens. And so there's a resiliency that has to come in as well. And many times people find, look at the stuff that's been going on just in Oklahoma recently. That takes a resiliency. How do you bounce back from something when you have everything destroyed? What's your plan A and plan B?
Well, in that, and I think that you just stated it so well. I mean, first of all, human beings, we're made up of so much more than we ever give ourselves credit for. And it really is in those times of testing and tragedy, like it we've seen in Oklahoma. I live in Boston, and we went through, of course, the horrific event with the marathon, and yet in the midst of it, reading the stories of people and what people find inside of them. Mm-hmm. You know, and this lives in everyone, Donna, and what's unfortunate is that for so many people, it takes that tragedy to pull it to the forefront. What I would love to see in my life's work is, how do you help people get into that mindset of, I'm up against it and I have to do it, but without the tragedy piece? You know, why can't we just in the day-to-day find that inner strength and say, I want to do something differently? And I do think in a lot of cases it's because people just simply don't know what to do. And give them a little bit of guidance, give them a path. And as your story with the woman in Washington, you watch people just like the chrysalis, you know, turning into the butterfly, making a metamorphosis into something, and they can't believe they're still the same person. But I think we all have it. We just haven't been given a lot of tools to unlock it.
And that's part of what you go into in your book. And you have various exercises. One of them is categorizing stakeholders, and I thought that was an interesting word to use. But it goes back to what you said about your dad. You tell your dad you've made a choice, and he's so upset with you because, in his mind, you're really very foolish for leaving the job when you're the primary earner in the family. And why in the world would you do that? He is a mature man. He's thinking the way a male would, and that is, you're responsible for your family, you just don't dump something, you don't go on, and those are just the emotions that he goes through. So he just didn't know how to communicate with you, because he's thinking you're just being this silly female. But you weren't being a silly female. You were looking at something that was intolerable for you. It violated all of your ethics, and you had to let it go.
And, you know, another such an important piece, and it's why looking at that stakeholder piece is so key. My father's a very smart man who didn't get along well with people, so would quit jobs and, struggled. And also I think we have to be aware enough to see where somebody is also putting, you know, their values on. So a lot of it, I think, too, was, I don't want my daughter to go through what I went through. But I have to say that, you know, I did look at who would be influenced by this, who would be involved in it, and was aware that those were some of the risks. But that's why I think we need to look at that first, so that we're not surprised by it, A, or that we're not counting on support that may not be there, B, and that we are able to find the support where it is, C. So unfortunately, a lot of times we just simply don't look at the different people in our universe who, again, may not be directly related. My father didn't live with me. It's not like he was impacted by it, but that's a person in my universe of high importance to me. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of times, Donna, we go into these things and we haven't taken into account the stakeholder, other person's view. And so we're then surprised by it or caught off guard by it. And it can sometimes be then what holds us back. I just believe so much in thinking about some of these things in advance. So we're taking them into account in our process.
I agree. And whether one's male or female, it doesn't make any difference. Men have been undermined by people that have been around them just as much as women have been. And I think that to take the approach of finding out what means the most to you and then looking at ways where you can go after it. I've known, and this exists in different parts of the world in various cultures, I've known women, and I can think of one right now, whose husband absolutely told her she could not go to school. Now, this is in the United States, and you go, huh? You hear this woman's story? She didn't go to school. She acquiesced to that. She did not go to school. Finally, after 30-some-odd years, she said, I'm going to school. I really don't care whether you like it or not. She wants to become a forensic pathologist. She's in her 50s. I said, oh, great, go for it. And it's amazing how we acquiesce to others. They'll either tell us we're not smart enough, or we just don't have a college degree, or we can't do this, we can't do that, we can't do the other. It really takes a willingness to dig down inside of ourselves and to ask ourselves, what is it that really means the most to us? And again, we can have responsibilities. You and I both know what that's like. And you say, how do I work with it? What am I going to do to achieve this? And one of the things we really have to look at are our fears. Because I know there have been times I've made choices and decisions with fear as a motivating factor, and they were bad choices and bad decisions. And the key is you have to be able to have that awareness within yourself. And that's what your book, Make Your Shift, it gives people the tools, the five moves that enables them to specify the desired outcome. You have wonderful exercises in your book. Highlight the obstacles and categorize them. Boy, how many times do we want to be airy-fairy about this and not even do that? And then identifying the human factor. This is what we're going to have to deal with. We're human beings. Finding alternatives, and then the big A, action. You can't sit and think about it until the cows come home. You've got to take the action. Beverly, your website, thehumanbehaviorcoach.com, what are people going to find on your site?
Well, I do write a blog regularly, and lots of insights about some of these things we're talking about and how it applies really in the real world. I try to find real situations. There's some free information for people to sign up. There's lots of, I've been written up many, many different periodicals, articles, lots of great free information, free resources on some of these things that we're talking about. Hopefully get people inspired and help them find that place inside of them where they can say, you know, I think I am ready to make my shift.
I agree. Make your shift. If you're like so many that says, this is now. I don't want to wait until I'm 109 to make a difference in my life. I want to be able to take charge. I want to take control of my space in my way. And being honest, whether you want to become a billionaire or whether you just want to be comfortable and do the work that you love, it doesn't make any difference. It's what is significant to you. And that is what Beverly Flaxington's book goes a long way towards addressing. It's a wonderful, handy book. You could carry it in a briefcase. It's easy to read, easy to understand, and it might help you in your journey to be aware of who you are and what is most significant to you. Beverly Flaxington, thank you so much for being my guest today. and continued success with your writing and with everything else that you're doing.
Thank you, Donna. I appreciate the opportunity.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Check out thehumanbehaviorcoach.com. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you have a product or service that you would like people to know about? Internet radio is a powerful medium that can assist you in reaching people who like to shop online and pass by electronic word of mouth information about you, your products, and or services. The Donna Sebo Show reaches around the world, and you can be part of that enterprising network. For more information, contact Vision Broadcasting via Donna at DelphiInternational.com.
Or call 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny. They will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Well, I have to share this story that I got from Marguerite, and it made me laugh, but I thought, science keeps moving forward, and we never know where we are going to find answers. So she sent me an article saying, take two cockroaches and call me in the morning. Ugh. I mean, just that kind of a headline is a wah kind of a headline. I mean, I lived in California. We had those little brown cockroaches, and when they got into your space, they just had babies by the gazillion. Anyway, I've been in Florida when I've had cockroaches that were as long as my hand. So anyway, those are not critters that I enjoy being around. But this is some scientific information, and I had to share it with you. There's a new antibiotic that may make one feel better, as long as you don't know where it came from. Ah, yes, you heard the headline, so this is what we've got. Science News has reported that nerve tissues from the Paraplaneta americana, that's the American cockroach, very, very formal name for it, and also a Schistocerca gregaria, the desert locust, seem able to kill more than 90% of a strain of E. coli that causes meningitis, and it can also kill some drug-resistant staph. Well, there probably is something to that, because we don't even know when cockroaches came around. They've been on this planet for billions of years, and the same with locusts. Well, there are scientists at the University of Nottingham that theorize that cockroaches, which thrive in some of the worst environments on this planet, they have some unique defenses against bacteria and parasites. They found in the research that soldiers returning from duty in the Middle East carried some unique infections, but locusts in the same areas were uninfected. So they started grinding up bugs. Oh, you gotta love it. You have to love those dedicated scientists. What's the key ingredient? Brains. Mm-hmm. You're hearing it correctly. The researchers found that fat, muscle tissue, and blood did not have any effect against bacteria, but brain matter did the trick without bothering human kidney or epithelial cells. Okay, so the brains of bugs may make a difference in antibiotics. I wonder if most doctors would ever share that with their patients. I don't think so, because I think most patients would say, I think I'll pass on that one, Doc. Anyway, that is some of the latest scientific research. The truth is, you never know where the answers or solutions to challenges we may have are going to evolve. And always, life has a mutation process. And those little bacteria and viruses, they are a life form, and they're going to do their little dance of change just as much as we do. So we're always going to be on that edge of trying to beat them at their game. If you think about it, if they don't have a host, they don't have a place to survive. So they're always looking for new areas to get into. Also, a little bit of information regarding money. By the way, if you want to call in and chat with me, you can. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little insight. 888-627-6008. Finances. Who doesn't have a conversation about money? All of us do. And if you're married, sometimes that can be a real bone of contention, dependent on the positioning that you have relative to money. Well, when they did some research on couples, do couples lie about money? People that have been together for maybe 50, 60, 75 years. Yes, there are some that live that long that are together that long. By golly, that's the truth. They do lie. The Denver-based National Endowment for Financial Education did a survey. They found among couples, 31% have deceived their partners about money, and more than 50% admit to hiding cash or minor purchases, and 34% said they'd lied about either their income or their debt. Now, they said when they did this survey, they found that about 16% of the survey participants said that their dishonesty about money contributed to their divorce. So they say be aware of the money and be willing to talk about money. And it's a very difficult thing in societies. I don't care where you are. The financial situation. Now, I know here in the U.S., and it can occur in Greece. I've known it among Italians. I've known it among Africans. People from around the world, different cultures, depending on what the cultural norm is. Often, women have felt like they've had to hide money because they weren't allowed to have it. The men would control everything. Well, in some instances in today's world, the women are becoming more and more the breadwinners, because they're finding it easier to get jobs or build a business than many men are. And so the shift has occurred. And this are some of the warning signs that they pass out. Don't be reluctant or have anger when it comes to discussing money. Don't make major purchases like the buying of a SUV or any big item that's going to cost thousands of dollars without engaging your partner. And don't lie about bills or charges for purchases that you've made, and then the other person finds out about it, and they've got a credit card bill of $25,000. Where did this come from? Well, you have to have integrity with that, or you should anyway. Also, lines of credit secretly opened in your partner's name or yours. Now, lots of times when people are having big, big challenges with money, they will not have a real, real healthy relationship. But it's a situation that I think a lot of it, again, depends on how we've been raised. What was the environment like when you were growing up? Did your family talk about money? When I was growing up, nobody talked about money. It just wasn't in the environment. I had no clue. I knew my father went to work. My mother didn't. She was a stay-at-home mom, with nothing wrong with that. But how were the finances handled? What were bills? I didn't know anything about them. It wasn't until I went out on my own that I discovered, guess what? You have to pay rent. Mm-hmm. And there's a something called food that you're going to need. It's amazing what you don't know when you're 17 and 18 years of age, depending on your environment. So if you're fortunate, if you have a family, educate your kids. But I think being open and talking about money and not being afraid of it. So many times there's this patterning with people where they say, if I control it, I control you. No, you don't want to go there. What you want to do is work together as a team if you can. And hey, it's okay to say no to expenditures. It's okay for kids to understand that money doesn't grow on trees. It doesn't. I'm sorry. They haven't come up with a tree that grows dollar bills. I know the Federal Reserve has their own specialty system, but the rest of us don't. So it's working with money, knowing how to work with money in a way, and becoming educated about it. And I think that men and women both go through this process. And it's important to be open about it and to understand it's not something to be afraid of. It's something to work with. Donna Sebo here. We have open lines at 888-627-6008. And all you need to do is give me a buzz if you'd like to chat and let me gift you with a reading on the air and lighten up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. If you're feeling stuck, well, maybe I can help you get unstuck. Donna Sebo again, 888-627-6008. Now, tomorrow we are going to have an open mic day. We've had to reschedule my guest, so you'll be able to call in at any time during the hour tomorrow and chat with me. So be sure and tell your friends. Alice Hertz Summer. Have you ever heard her name? I never have. But wow, she's one special lady. She was quoted as saying, optimism and looking for the good. That's what she believes in. Life is beautiful. You have to be thankful that we are living. Wherever you look is beauty. I know about the bad things, but I look for the good things. Now, who is Alice Hertz Summer? She is a Holocaust survivor who today is 109 years old. She was asked, what was her secret to feeling good? And I just gave you her answer. She knows about the bad things. She survived the brutality of the Holocaust. But she chose to look for the good things in life, and at 109, her attitude still prevails. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. I'll have a little bit of this to share, a little bit of that to share, and a little bit more. Don't go away.
If you are an author and would like to be a guest on the Donna Sebo Show, please send a review copy of your publication along with a press release to the Donna Sebo Show, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. Allow 6 to 8 weeks for your material to be reviewed. Again, the address to send your material to is the Donna Sebo Show, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. Have you ever had a paranormal experience, such as seeing a ghost, having precognitive dreams, out-of-body experiences, or other happenings? If so, Donna would like to hear from you. She's putting together a book of 100 stories from people who would like to tell their story. If you'd like to submit yours, send an email to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Again, send your story to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Be sure to include your contact information as well. Thank you.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat at 888-627-6008. Miracles, do you believe in them? I do. Some people might call it a flow of synchronicity. But the story I'm going to share with you now is a story about a young couple and a baby boy. And it's a phenomenal story because it shows how life has a very special patterning to it. And we never, ever know how life is going to express itself through us, through our experiences in a very special way. This is a young couple, Patrick, Brandy. And Brandy was getting ready to have her baby boy, who is just absolutely adorable. I've got a picture of their son, Judson, in front of me, and he's just as cute as he could possibly be. Now, Brandy was at home, and she had been, you know, just preparing for the day, and her husband had been watching television. So here she is in her last day or two of pregnancy. They know the baby's on the way. Her husband is staying close by because he wants to make sure that everything goes okay with her. She has left him, left the room for a little bit of time, goes back in, and she finds her husband is not breathing. Immediately, she calls 911. Fortunately, paramedics were very close by. They got to him immediately. He was in cardiac arrest. They had to use a defibrillator twice. They finally got a pulse. Here she is in this last part of her pregnancy, looking at the fact that her husband may die any moment. They had waited 8 years for her to conceive this child that she was carrying. Patrick was ecstatic over the whole thing. So was Brandy. Patrick was put in an ambulance, taken to the West Regional Health System, had a cardiologist in the emergency room. They found 100% blockage in one of Patrick's arteries. They immediately went to work on Patrick. They placed him in a medically induced coma. They were hoping the body was going to be okay, but his brain, they didn't know what was going to happen with that. We have got a caller. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, I will tell you the rest of this powerful story. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
I'm calling from Desert Hot Springs, California.
Hi, dear, and I can barely hear you. You're calling from Desert Hot Springs, and what's your first name or initial?
L.
L? Okay. Thank you for calling in. It's a delight having you on the show. First thing, L, that I am looking at is you've got 1, 2, 3, 4 significant decisions that you are trying to package so that they will all harmonize in the right way. You are a natural-born organizer. This is something I think you were even doing when you were in the womb. It's like, this goes here, this goes there, this is what I'm going to do. It's a thinking process that is a very useful process to you, but you're feeling a little flustered right now, and you feel as if you have got a lot of pressure on you, and I'm seeing you clenching your teeth, and you feel like you've got to do something because the stress can get to you. Well, usually you're pretty disciplined about stress. You're pretty good about handling it. But because you've got these four components that you're trying to put together, I would say you're going to need to take one day at a time. I don't know that all four will fit into a compact package. One of the items that you're very concerned about may take longer to resolve than you expect. So what you're going to need to do, I think, in my perceptiveness, is that you need to make it okay that maybe three are going to be able to be put into a package of action and follow through that you can do with. And the fourth one may take longer. Don't stress yourself unnecessarily, because if you can't control everything, you can't control everything. It's just not going to work. But you can stay on top of certain circumstances, and you do what you have to do. Is there going to be more financial outlay? Absolutely. But realize you can take it in increments. You don't have to do all of the financial process all at once. So if you have anyone that you can discuss one-on-one with these four major decisions, so that you don't need anybody to criticize you. You don't need that. What you need is the type of thinking that are going to say, all right, let's look at this avenue. It's sort of like being a football coach. You know how they go and they lay out the plays? And they'll say, if this doesn't work, let's look at this play. Or basketball, you know, whatever. Use the sport concept as a layout plan for yourself. And if you do that, you're going to come out way ahead. You're going to find yourself being able to get through what I feel is going to be a pretty intense 3 to 4 months ahead of you. And you do have to, what I would describe as face down, or maybe I should say face forward to someone that is always challenging you, always challenging you. And you have to depersonalize it. You need to realize that one of the reasons this person is always challenging you is because they have adopted that behavior as an insulation factor so that they can feel safe. I know it sounds strange, but we human beings do strange things if we feel like we're being threatened or something's going wrong. So when I say face forward, you need to be able to look at this person right in the eye and say, this is what I am going to be doing. This is how I feel it needs to be handled. If you have any suggestions, I'm open to it. And be willing to listen. And then you make your choices based on the right information. You'll get through these next 3 to 4 months. But it's really an intense learning curve for you this year. So be patient with yourself. Don't beat yourself up. You're going to be able to get through this, and you're going to do well. Do you have a question for me? Hello, I think we might have lost L. L, are you still there? The caller. Okay, well, anyway, my goodness, I don't have very much time left to share the rest of the story about Brandy and Patrick. I will share the story with you tomorrow so that you have it in its entirety. It's just an incredible story, and I don't want you not to hear about it. So before we say goodbye today, remember always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. It is so important for you to realize that you are an individual that has, you might say, a special job assignment when you were given this wonderful experience of life to live. And part of the job assignment is to figure out what means the most to you and how you can express yourself in the deepest and finest and best way possible. I am so grateful for your sharing your time with me today, and I hope you'll share with me tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to be an open mic day. Have a magnificent day or evening wherever you are in this magnificent planet of ours. And just know, you do make a difference. This is Donna Sebo. Take care. We'll be chatting tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on BBS Radio. Station 1. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.